children. Let's start with singing a couple of hymns in the back of the hymn sheet.
Number 40,
Jesus loves me. This I know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Dear souls to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, my roof high, heaven, Jesus, hope and light. He will wash away my sin. Let the little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. We sang about If I Trust Him. Number 41 is Round the Throne of God in Heaven Will Many Children Sing. Now the question today is, will I be one of those children? Let's sing 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing.
Ask the Lord's help, our gracious God. Voices. Sometimes you might say they're just noises, But we'll start with the loud ones first, the loud noises, and we'll go on down to the ones you just barely can hear. Some of you came by jet plane, I know. I talked to a man named Lindsay who came from way off in Brazil, quarter of the way around the world by jet airplane, a Boeing jet airplane, I hope. And along as you travel along, most of you have ridden in a jet plane, there's all that terrible racket. And Boeing, over where I used to work for a long time, they spent millions of dollars trying to get rid of that noise, and they got quite a bit more quiet, but it's still a racket. I remember in the old days, at 2 o'clock every afternoon, all the jet engines would stop because mothers had to put their babies down for naps around Boeing Field then. Well, they don't have to do that now. They have different ways of running, but they're still awfully noisy. But as a good American, I have to say that noise is power, and we Americans, we like power, don't we? We like to see boats going by fast with a lot of noise and cars going by fast. It's a sign of power. But sometimes, you know, it's a sign of power out of control, like when something explodes. Someone was telling me yesterday about a big pile of cars. They just went up in flames all at once, made big black smoke. So we want to talk about noise, and loud noise first. And we hear that noise with, what's these little things? Ears? Let's go back to Exodus. We'll read about a few things in Exodus. First of all, go back to Exodus 3. Remember when the Lord would take his people out of Israel, he called a leader, and the man's name was Moses. He specially prepared vessel to lead the people. Well, Moses had kind of forgotten his calling, his remarkable floating around in that little bulrush ark, and then he went out in the desert. Now the Lord had to call him back to his job. So he saw this burning bush, and he went aside to look at it, and the Lord said, Noah, Moses, you're the man I just want to talk to. I have a job for you. And Moses said, me? I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. Now notice his words in, the fourth chapter of Exodus. Moses said, O Lord, I'm not eloquent. Eloquent means the gift of speaking out. And the Lord said unto him, notice his reply, wonderful reply, that it did arguing with him and saying, oh yes you are. Because maybe Moses was speaking the truth. I don't doubt, but what, he wasn't very eloquent. The Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Well, who did? This boy right down here. Who made man's mouth? God made him. So if a man isn't able to speak, do you think the Lord could give him speech or eloquence or unction? That's just a big people word for meaning the ability to speak forth God's word. Who made man's mouth? Now go on. Who made the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Remember in John we have that beautiful story of the blind man? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. Well, what about the ear? Children, you want to be very careful of these ears. The Lord only gave you two. You could get by with one. A lot of people don't have them. I have a son that one ear just doesn't hear. You can shout in that ear and he hears around his head. That ear is dead. You want to be very careful. A man was telling me yesterday at meeting, he said, oh, these ears. I worked so long in a noisy shop, I have trouble hearing. You make a lot of noise. You're in a lot of noise, you lose some of your hearing. And the Lord has made these things so sensitive that scientists tell me that you can hear one quantum of sound. That's the very smallest teeny bit of sound that you could possibly think of, a quantum of sound in the right conditions. If you haven't heard a lot of noise, you can hear one quantum, teeny tiny bit. Have you ever been in a place so quiet? You know, we Americans live in, most of the time we live in noisy places. I hate to say, sometimes we kind of like that, like the big fast planes going by. But have you ever been someplace where a whole day, but it was so quiet you could hear your clothes. I have. You breathe, and you could hear your clothes rustling. And your ear can pick that. The Lord made your ear very sensitive, like your eye. Your eye can pick up one quantum of optics, of light. Well, over where I worked, they have big jet planes, and they make lots of noise, and they spend a lot of money to make them quieter. And when you fly along, like our brother from Brazil did, you have this roar of thunder behind the airplane. All the while you're going, you're making that loud noise. And it impresses us with the power of it. But sometimes the loud noises aren't really the message we're supposed to hear. Now there's another one that goes with big jet airplanes, and that's thunder. I was hoping last night we'd get a show. Sometimes we come to a Walla Walla conference, we get a show of thunderstorms. Over where I live in Tacoma, there aren't, don't very often have them. And you hear the thunder. What makes thunder? Let me ask somebody else. Let me ask this girl here, Amy, what makes thunder? What's the first thing that causes it? It's lightning. It's electricity going down through the air. Let's turn to that now. The Bible doesn't say much about electricity. Let's turn to Exodus. Let's turn to the when the Lord was dealing with Pharaoh through Moses. Let's turn to Exodus. The ninth chapter. Remember how the Lord dealt with Pharaoh? First with little, just to get his attention. He started out with little things. And it got worse and louder and worse. Sometimes, you know, we don't listen. The Lord is speaking to us, and we're not listening. Remember how the Lord talked to Pharaoh with frogs? I'll have to tell you a frog story. The Lord sent frogs all over the land of Egypt. You would have thought that if the Pharaoh saw that, he would have said, "All right, Lord, I give up," and held up the white flag, but he didn't. But I'll tell you a story, a frog story. There was a little girl named Eleanor that started running away from home. I knew that little girl. She's a big lady now. And her parents, they chided her, and they scolded her, and they even spanked her, and she still would run away. Not very far. She'd run two or three blocks. So one morning, very early on Sunday morning, there was no traffic. Her father got up. Her father's name was Dave, and he took little Eleanor by the hand, and they went for a walk. And they walked out, and they went to the right in the middle of the road. There was no car, and they walked right down the middle of the road. Pretty soon, Dave stooped over, and he pointed to something on the road. It was a frog. It was springtime, and there were frogs hopping around. And some of them got run over by cars. And he told her the story, how the little boy frog ran away from the mommy frog and got hit by a car. Now he was just about that thick. Can you see how thick that is? That paper, can you see? You can't see it, can you? It's so thin. And they walked down the street a little farther, and they came to the second frog, black, run over by hundreds and hundreds of cars. Little Eleanor started to cry for that poor little frog that didn't stay home with its mother. And they got to the third frog, and about the fourth frog, they'd had enough and they came home. Here was Dave. He was in tears too. I knew him well. I often saw him weeping at the breaking of bread. And his little daughter, she was weeping, and she never ran away again. Well, there was a case of a little girl that listened to the frog story, and she wept, and it changed her life. She didn't run away again. But here we have a man, he was the most powerful king on earth. Egypt was the ruling monarchy of the earth. And he was so hard-hearted, he wouldn't listen to the frog story. What are we going to be like? Are we going to not listen to the Lord when he starts with frogs? It's almost funny, isn't it? You know, the Bible doesn't have very much humor in it because it talks about serious subjects. But sometimes there's almost like it's almost humor. Frogs. Frogs in the kneading troughs. Frogs in the bedrooms. You'd think Pharaoh would have said, "I give up, Lord," but he didn't. But little Eleanor, she listened to the frog story and it changed her life. You know, weeping will not save me. It moves us, but it won't save us. What we hear in the conference here, it's got to change our lives, doesn't it? Well, let's go on about electricity. The Lord doesn't talk much about electricity. Let's read in the 10th chapter of Exodus, in verse 22, and the Lord's, you got that? I'm sorry, chapter 9, not 10, chapter 9 of Exodus, verse 22, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch forth thine hands toward the heaven, that there may be hail. Now, remember hail and lightning and thunder all go together. Clouds rushing up vertically. They call them elevators. Most clouds, they travel horizontally like ships sailing on the sea. But elevator clouds go up this way. And if big Boeing jets fly into them, they might crash. So the man that flies the Boeing jet has a little radar that looks out through clouds and it says, fly this way, and he flies around and he avoids the danger most of the time. But still, airplanes get hit about once a year by lightning. Have you ever been in a plane when it was hit by lightning? Kaboom! And of course there's a big stroke, big bolt of lightning. The Lord speaks of it here. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along the ground. There's the lightning. There's about the closest that the Bible comes to talking about electricity, because I don't think those people would understand about electricity way back then. But there's the electricity. It's lightning. It's electricity out of control. Oh, it's under the Lord's control, but I mean it's not in our control. So what they have to do at Boeing when they build airplanes, they have a big lab. It's not quite as big as this, but it's a big high place. They make artificial lightning and they make sure that all the wingtips of the airplane and all the extremities, because that's where lightning hits, right out on the tips, they make sure that when lightning hits, it won't cause any damage. Because there have been a lot of planes went down because of lightning. You're up there right where the lightning is, and you have to be careful. And as careful as you are, the lightning and thunder, the thunder doesn't hurt the airplane, but the lightning does. So over there, I used to work in there, and they'd have a red light go on, and a little voice would say, stand by for lightning stroke. And pretty soon, kaboom! And you'd go in there and you'd see where there was a lot of damage or something was broken, and they'd work on it again and fix it. So when you travel, you're pretty safe. You're pretty safe. But you still ought to be trusting the Lord, even if you stay, keep your feet right down on the ground. Well, that's the sound of thunder and lightning. It's out of control for us. We can't cause lightning. People have thought for years, if we could just harness lightning, it would light up our cities. Never been able to do it. But the Lord's in control of it. Well, now let's get into the next sound, not so loud, in Exodus 15. Different kind of a voice. Everything has a voice. You know, chickens and birds and dogs, they all have a voice. Your friends have a voice. Have you ever thought how remarkable it is? You talk to someone on the phone that you haven't, they call you up and you haven't talked to them for 2 or 3 years, and you just hear just a little snippet of their voice and you say, hi George, how did that happen? How did you know that it was George? Remarkable. And everything, the Lord has given just about everything a voice. Let's read about these happy voices in Exodus 15. Then sang Moses, 15 verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. They tell me this is the first mention of singing in the Bible. Way back in Genesis, remember, in about the 22nd chapter, we had the first mention of love. Now here's the first mention of singing. When do people sing? When they're real sad? When they lost everything and their wallet's empty, that when they sing? No, of course not. We sing when we're happy. And of course, these people had been redeemed from years and years of building bricks for Pharaoh. Not the same Pharaoh that wouldn't listen to the frog story, different Pharaoh, but they still called him Pharaoh. Remember, Pharaoh wasn't a name. It was sort of like we say president. Different people are president. Well, different people are pharaohs. They escaped from Pharaoh by the mighty hand of God, and they sang. How I would love to have heard that. I wonder how come they all said the same words. You think they had hymn books out there in the desert? Think they all had the same hymn book? How did they know what to sing? You ever wonder about that? You've all been to a symphony, haven't you? Most of us, maybe the little people haven't, where all the people have their instruments in a big room like this, and there's a man stands up and he kind of waves this funny stick about that long. And they all do the right thing. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be in the assembly, you know. Except that we can't see the conductor, the man with the stick. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And I have to tell you that a lot of times it's just like that, thank the Lord. The man with the stick isn't visible, but you see him calling up the tuba here, and then the xylophone there, and then all the violins here. They seem to play on cue, and we can't see the conductor. Well, that's, children, that's beyond our... So we're talking about voices here this morning. Happy voices. What a joy it is to hear happy voices. I have to tell you, you know, people in the back row, that your singing this time has moved me like never before. To hear a 500 or 1,000 redeemed voices singing happy sounds to the Lord. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. But I'm sorry to say it didn't last very long. Let's go on. Just overleaf. Just turn about one page and you get to the 17th chapter. Now let's listen to these kind of voices. Remember, these voices are all different voices that we hear in the world. We have to ask ourselves, what's my voice like? Chapter 17 of Exodus, verse 3. And the people thirsted for water. Remember, the Lord had led them through water and stood it on its edge, like water never stands, so they could walk dry shod. Don't you think he would have given them a glass of water if he made all that water stand on its edge? Why, of course he would. But they said, no, the Lord's going to leave us here. He's forgotten us. The people thirsted there for water, verse 3, and the people murmured against Moses. They were really murmuring against the Lord, weren't they? Moses was just the helper. They murmured. Someone said, you know, that it's all right to groan, but not to murmur. They groaned in Egypt, and the Lord heard him. You know, the Lord has ears too. He's given us ears. He can hear too, much better than we can. The people murmured. Now the next voice. It's not in the Bible, but the voice I heard a few months ago back in Illinois is the sound of beep, 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 beep. Electronic voice. There was an old soldier for the Lord. He sat on the front row here many years, 40 years or so, helping out with hard verses, and his time had come to leave this world. It seems like nowadays in the United States, you can't leave this world without electronics. You can't live without electronics. We have it in our cars, and it seems to be like a handyman all around. And you can't leave this world in a hospital without that beep, beep, beep. So there I stood. This old soldier was laying there, breathing his last. And you look up there on this electronic dial, and here's this wavy line, his heart going wild up and down and gradually fading out to a flat line. And the beep goes on. Beep, beep, beep. Have you ever taken piano lessons? I took them once. I tried to learn how to play the piano. There was nothing wrong with the piano, but the biggest problem of learning the piano is the metronome. You remember that little funny thing that goes back and forth? Just like beep, beep. That's what stopped me from learning how to play the piano. Because it keeps going and it won't stop. And I couldn't keep up with it. And that's somehow the way life is, isn't it? It just keeps going on and finally we run out. We're played out. And the Lord takes us home. Well, I'm glad to see that the Lord takes away one soldier but he replaces them. So we have other helpers in the front row helping us with hard verses at conferences. And we know the Lord is faithful. He takes away one soldier and he replaces him with maybe two or three more. That's the beeping sound. Now the next one, let's turn to the book of Kings. You know how to find Kings. It has all those hard stories about kings that neglected the Lord and then they died. And then they neglected the Lord and then they died. A lot of sad stories in the book of Kings. First Kings 19. This is a story about voices, starting with the loud voice. First Kings 19. Here's Elijah in the New Testament. I think he's called Elias. Remember, that little I turns into a J. If you draw and write an I and you go too far below the line, it turns into a J. And that's kind of the way it is. The Romans never could keep straight whether they were writing an I or a J. So it's Elijah or Elias. And he goes and stands among the mountain in verse 19. He was really discouraged. He thought, I'm the only one left. Everybody else given up. So let's start. In the living in a cave, in the ninth verse, he said, and the Lord says to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 10, we're in 1 Kings 19. He said, I've been very jealous for you, Lord. I'm the one that's standing up for you. And the Lord says, go stand on the mountain. We're verse 11. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind. My goodness, we had a big thing close to a hurricane in Tacoma. It blew down houses and barns. It blew down trees way back in the 60s. I was there. Tied down the roof of a building to a car so it wouldn't sail away. A great and strong wind with all the noise that goes with it. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Much stronger wind than I've ever been in. But the Lord was not in the wind. The loud voice of the wind gets our attention, but the Lord wasn't in it. And today, children, there's all kinds of voices. Buy this. Be like this. Be slender like this. Be rich like this. Go to school and get a degree like this. All these voices clamoring for our attention. But the question is the Lord in it? Now next. But the Lord was not in the wind. At the end of verse 11. But after the wind, an earthquake. I was a little boy in the 33 earthquake in Long Beach. The house shook, but it was a wooden house, so nothing broke. But I remember looking out at night, seeing the sky all red toward Long Beach. Fire. Almost always when you have an earthquake, it's followed by a fire. I remember that. But notice what it says. The Lord was not in the earthquake. All the things rattling on the shelves. It gets your attention real quick. Some of you Californians were in that one down in Van Nuys a while back. It gets your attention real quick. Now, is the Lord in it? Well, I think that earthquake in Van Nuys turned quite a few people to the Lord. But in this case, it says, the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, but after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Still, small voice. Do you ever hear the still, small voice? Like somebody reads you a verse and it just won't go out of your mind? You don't try to remember it, but it just sticks there all day. Or a snatch of a hymn, just one line of a hymn, and it just sticks there. Well, we mustn't ignore it, because the Lord speaks to us sometimes, not with a loud noise, but with just a little teeny noise, a little voice. There was a little wisp of a lady I read about once, not much taller than this, and she had 8 or 10 big strapping sons. And somebody asked her, how do you ever make yourself heard in a house full of big guys like that? And she had a wise answer. She said, I whisper. I whisper. After the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Now I got to have some help. Could Emily come up and help me here? Because we're going to listen to a still, small voice. And we'll get Zach up. Zach and Emily are brother and sister. And we'll see if boys or girls are better at doing this. I have a record player here. I brought my own record player. And I wasn't sure if you have electricity here in Walla Walla, so I brought one that didn't need electricity. But it needs a motor. Is it going to be the motor today? Okay, we'll see. Because what we need here now is a little strength, but we need it controlled, just the right speed. So here's the record player, and I'll tell you the story about this as soon as you hear it. This is the record player. You see, there's no electricity. This is the record, old-fashioned record, not the tape like we use today or CD, but this is a record, a medium-sized record, and it goes right here. And now the motor part. That's where you kids come in. We'll see whether boys or girls have the steadiest hand. Now, you remember, it has to go the same speed all the time. And I'm going to try to stay close here with this mic. And it goes like this. I'll do it once for you. Put the pen in here. Can you hear that? But you know it's not English. I'll get to that in a minute. Okay, I'll let you try it now. The one side says, this is in Spanish, ¿Cómo ser salvo? How to be saved. And the other side is, ¿Por qué Jesús vino? Why the Lord came. We're going to ask that. We're going to answer that question in a minute. Let's play this side, why the Lord came. Okay, we'll put this down here. The record player, it's not polished mahogany, you know, but it still works. And you put that right in that hole. Okay, I'll hold it for you. Let's see how steady you can go and make it sound like real voices.
Por último, cuando todo estaba preparado, hizo al hombre, para que no estuviera solo, hizo también una mujer, y le puso a cargo de todo lo que había.
Okay, thank you. Now, Zach, you see if you can make it go. It's real steady, even like a motor would do it. A little faster.
Entonces,
a little faster.
Menos una cosa. Dios les prohibió comer la fruta del árbol que se llama del bien y del mal.
Seguro que le hicieron
corazón. Well, thank you. Thank you. Okay. I think they both did pretty well, but we get tired after a while doing that, wouldn't you? Well, thanks, kids. Now I'll tell you the story behind this. There was two ladies that went way up in almost to Alaska. Way back in the 1940s, one lady's name was Joyce. I don't remember the other lady's name. And they were out way up among the Athabasca Indians by Slave Lake. And they came upon the fact that stunned both of them that these people didn't know how to read. They did not know how to read. So how could they read the Bible? Remember, faith cometh by hearing, that's true. Most of the early preaching was spoken word, because most of the parishioners didn't know how to read. But Paul says to Timothy, till I come, give attendance to, what's the last word? The last word is reading. How do we read the Word of God if we don't know how to read? Does a man's eternal destiny depend on him knowing how to read? So these two sisters, they all the way back to Los Angeles, that was the topic of conversation. What about those Athabasca Indians? Now, I must say that the Canadian government's gone out of its way to have Indian schools up there. But a lot of the old-timers, they just didn't have time for school. I'm afraid a lot of us old-timers, it's hard for us to learn. And so here was all these Indians, or natives, perhaps natives is a better word, Native Americans, didn't know how to read. And they thought to themselves, how can we make records for people that don't know how to read? particularly if they have a language that nobody knows how to write. Now, of course, Athabascan, I think, now has been written down, but, and of course, Spanish is. Our Spanish brethren have lots of things they can read, and most of them know how to read, but if you look worldwide, about half the people in the world don't know how to read, at least in 1940 when these sisters looked into this. So they said, let's get somebody to go to these different tribes and talk to them about bread and water and houses and the ordinary things that the scripture is full of. Remember how the Lord always was talking about, he said, consider the lily. Loan me a penny. Remember that? Show me a penny. The Lord talked about ordinary things, except that corn of wheat. Well, everybody knows what a corn of wheat, even us city slickers, we know that the farmer has to put some in and he has to wait. And if everything goes right, he gets back 60 or 30 or 60 or 100 fold. We all know that. The Lord talked about ordinary things. They said, let's go to these tribes and talk about ordinary things, and then we'll take that back and piece it together without written words, and we'll send it back to them. And so that was the beginning of this, what's called gospel recordings, with a simple little thing that costs 5 or 10 cents. This is a record player. It's got the little needle here. I have to tell you a story at the end. I see my time is almost up. But I have to tell you a story. It's very touching about that. There was a man that I knew in Pasadena. He's a big, burly Marine. Great big fella, Semper Fi. He was in the Marine Corps in World War II, and he ran across these natives in Papua and New Guinea. You children that know about your maps, you know where that is, way down just north of Australia. And he said, when I go back after the war, I want to preach Christ to these natives. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know how to read it. All you children, you all know how to read it. Or you're learning, aren't you? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Supposing you didn't know how to read and nobody around knew about it either, how would you ever get a hold of it? So Joyce and her helper started sending these out. And this big burly Marine, he took one down to the middle of Australia. Now out in Australia, way in the interior, they call it the outback. It's dry. That you walk miles and don't find water. And the people that live there, they call themselves blackfellas. I think even the girls are called blackfellas. That's what they call themselves. Very primitive people. And he went out there to preach Christ to the blackfellas. And he took him one of these, and of course he had to sit down and talk to him about corns of wheat, bread, father, children, the things the Bible is full of that the Lord develops in a spiritual way, because we all know what fathers are. We all had one. We know what a house is. These black fellows didn't have a house, but they had it in their walkabouts. They walk around in this country looking for food. And by food, I mean little grubs, things like that. Certain season, that's all there is to eat. But they still have a soul, and the Lord loves them. So he brought these records to them that made up in their own language that nobody knew how to write. And he came back a few years later. Here he was. There was a campfire way out in the middle of Australia. You've read about it. Some of you might have been there. To Ayers Rock, that big red mountain in the middle of Australia. And the stars shining, no lights, no electricity, no Safeway stores, no highways, no cars, no nothing that you and I take for granted. Sure enough, he heard the sound of one of these records. Well, that cheered his heart. He said, well, at least they're listening still. And here was years later. So here he comes up, and here was somebody, one of the black fellas, sitting around the campfire. He had this thing up, and he had a little stick, and he was turning this thing around. But Don looked at it, and he saw it was smooth. It was completely worn out. Completely worn. You see this one, if you look carefully, you see it. The shiny places, they never made the little scratchings on it, but in the middle, it's where it's rough, you know, there's little fine lines. It has the talk there. They had played it so many times that it was worn out flat, smooth. Well, where was the sound coming from? It was coming from the people. They had heard it so many times that they'd committed it into their heart. Now, just why they had somebody turn the thing, I'm not sure. I suppose that was their musician, I don't know. But they had transferred everything about the love of God from this thing right into here. And they were repeating it over and over again. Say, next time at your house, you might hear somebody, it wouldn't be you, but maybe your little brother might say, I'm tired, I don't want to go to meeting. I'm too tired to go to meeting. Well, next time you hear that in your house, if you should hear that, you just remember the black fellas. No Bible, no electricity, no hymn book. This is all they know about the Lord, a handful of these. And they wore them smooth. So their way of going to meeting, quite different from ours. But they had committed to their heart what they knew. It wasn't very much. It wasn't Paul's doctrine, I'm sure of that. But it linked them with God in heaven, and they believed it. And that reminds me of a verse. I wonder if we could all say it. I'll say it to you a couple of times. Thy word have I hid in my library. Is that what it says? Anybody remember? Did I start a verse that you remember? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. That was a shepherd boy named David. He believed that. And these black fellas in the middle of Australia, they believed, thy word have I hid, not very much of his word, but enough. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I wonder what about all the little people in the front rows here. Have we done that? Let's all say it together. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I hope so. The Lord knows that when we're little, we get squirmy when we sit in chairs with big people talking. Some of the big people in the front row, they talk about things that are hard for us to understand. But we hide it in our heart, and later on, the Lord, years later, he says, remember, you were sitting in Walla Walla in 1995? Oh, I know. So we put away things, don't we? We put away things in our drawer that we're not going to use for a while. Someday I'll use that. And that's the same way when we go to conference, that we hide it in our heart so the Lord can use it. Let's thank him, shall we? Our gracious